Revelation. We'll read two or three verses in chapter number one, just sort of a reminder and of where we were the last time we stood here before you. Revelation chapter 1, and then we're going to get into the message to the church at Ephesus in chapter number 2. But I want to remind you of a few things right here. The book of Revelation is a very interesting book and something that we as the church of God and the day that we live, we need to be studying, realizing where we're at in God's time calendar. And we can do that, I think, by looking at some things in these messages here to the churches, seven churches. And I remind you that these seven churches that are mentioned here also represent seven specific church ages in the past 2,000 years. And if you study the Word of God, it'll lead you up to a point where you realize that we're in the last of the church ages. Jesus is soon to come. And it's an exciting time. I know we look out in this old world and we see a lot of things we disagree with and we don't like. But it just points to the fact that Jesus is soon to come and get His church out of this old sin-cursed world. And that's our hope. And we've got something to rejoice about, no matter how bad things get in this old world. But I want to back up right here. John, now he says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. That's a good place to be any day, in the Spirit. And he heard a great voice as of a trumpet behind him. You know, when you get in the Spirit, and get in perfect fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll go to talking to you. And you'll, just as He did John right here when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And He says this in verse number 11 of chapter 1, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Notice this now. He says, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And now, let's jump on down here to verse number 18. He says, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive evermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Now notice again, he says, write again. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. I'm glad God gave him these things to write, that we could know much about the plan of God for this old world. And he says, now he's already seen things up here, and that's written that I didn't go over, but he says this, notice this in verse number 20, what he explains here. He said, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. And he explains it. The seven stars are the angels or the messengers or the pastors of these seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. All right. Now we'll see now as the message begins to develop right here in chapter number 2. What do we want to get to tonight? Now, remind you right here, these messages right here, not only were to these seven specific churches, represent seven specific church ages, but it's also to us today. And we'll see that in a little bit right here as we look into these first seven verses right here of chapter number 2. Now, let's just go ahead and we'll read these verses and then we'll back up and elaborate on them. He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear. Now this is something he says at the end of each one of these letters to these seven churches, and he's saying it to you and I. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, plural. To him that overcometh, I'll give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Brother Howard Jackson, would you pray, ask God to bless? Yes. Amen. Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord, we pray, God. Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen. Jesus said these words in verse number 5. He said, repent, do the first works, or else I'll come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. Now, my thought is this, when a church ceases to be a church, when a church ceases to be a church, he makes it very clear what the problem is back in verse number 4, leaving your first love. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but first of all, I'd say where there's no love, there's no light. You know, there's a lot of churches that's still maybe operational. Then there's some that's just closed down totally altogether because they've lost their first love. They fell out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ who first loved them. And I challenge you tonight to examine yourself as we look at this passage of Scripture right here. And just examine yourself and your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And are you more thankful and more appreciative of what the Lord done for you as you go day by day getting older and heading toward out eternity in this old life right here? We ought to be more thankful and more loving of our Lord and Savior that He rescued us from a devil's hell. And now this message right here, and all these messages are to church people, to saved people. It's not a message to the world. It's to you and I in the life that we're living in this old world today. And it should challenge us as we look at this right here. And it should make us examine ourselves and see where we stand in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But first of all, as we look at this right here, I want to look at who the author of the message is. Who the author is. If you've got a King James Bible, a red letter edition, you'll find that all these seven verses right here are written in red. These are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the seven churches and to the church here at Liberty Baptist Church tonight. And let's don't let the light go out here at Liberty Baptist Church. Let's examine ourselves and let's be a thankful and worshipful people and just be thankful for what God done for us. Brother Howard, I know what kind of person me and you used to be, but thank God that Jesus is a loving Savior, a forgiving Savior, and He's reaching out to the lost and dying people of this old world today, and He says, whosoever will could come and take of the water of life freely. And I'm glad there was a call one day in my life to salvation, and hey, I'm glad that the devil had me convinced, he had me totally convinced that I'd gone too far, that I'd done too much, that the Lord would never save me, but he proved Himself to me when I cried out to Him first Sunday in March of 1974, and He saved my wretched soul from a devil's hell. And I want to be thankful, and hey, I want to look at Him every day and look up every day and realize where my help comes from and realize where my hope is. And it's not in this old world right here. Hey, I was just 23 years old when the Lord saved me. But listen to me, I've never got over what He done for me. And I'll never get over it. Hey, that's the way we ought to all be tonight. And I don't want to get over what He done for me. God's been good, and He'll always be good to His children. But notice who He's talking to. Who is the author of this message? He says right here in verse number 1, unto the angel of the church of the Ephesians write, these things saith He that holdeth the seven stars in His right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Can I tell you, He said He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father. He's the one that was, He was dead, and now He's alive, and He's alive forevermore. And I'm glad I know He's alive, because He lives within me. I feel Him a-stirring in my soul every time I pray to Him. Every time I get in the Bible and begin to study the Word of God, I feel Him. I feel His presence within me through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. So now He is the proprietor of these churches right here. He purchased the church with His own blood. And so He has all the power in heaven and in earth. And can I tell you this right here? He's the inspector of the church. The inspector. He knows the internals of the church. I ain't talking about the building. I'm talking about you. And I'm talking about me. He knows my heart. He knows all my wicked thoughts. He knows all my good thoughts. He knows my intentions. Hey, He knows all about the workings of the church. And Brother Tim, as God has saved us and placed us in the body, and as He's given gifts to us, we ought to be careful now of what God has done for us and what God requires of us. Amen. We're the church of the living God. We're the light of the world. And so, I'm talking about right here, when a church ceases to be a church, He said, I'll come and I'll remove your candlestick out of its place. Be careful. He is the preeminent one. He must have the preeminence in this church. It's not in me, it's not in you, it's not in Brother Ken, but He has to be the head. He has to be the center of attention. The focus of His church is upon Him. He's the preeminent one. We better keep Him in His place. Amen? The preeminent one, the author of this message, is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He makes that very clear. Now, let's notice this. Secondly, who is He addressing? Who is He speaking to? Who is He addressing this message to right here? Well, first of all, it goes to the pastor. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. This angel is the messenger. This angel is the pastor of the church at Ephesus right here. But I remind you that the same message that was delivered to Ephesus is delivered to you and I in the day in which we live. It's delivered to Brother Ken Bowman. It's delivered to us as individuals right here. But the pastor, he has responsibility. Great responsibility. A tremendous responsibility. He has a great accountability that's coming up. Amen. Notice what I'm talking about right here. Let's go into 1 Peter chapter number 5. Just a little bit of the responsibilities of the pastor right here. 1 Peter 5 and 1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort. who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Notice what he says now. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre or just doing it for the money, but of a ready mind. Because God has called a man to preach, called a man to pastor, put him in a position as a pastor. He's to feed the flock of God. He's to get in the Word of God. He's to get on his face before God and see what God wants him to deliver to the church, to the people of God, to the assembly at the house of God. Great responsibility. Tremendous responsibility. And I appreciate my pastor tonight for the 28 years now? 28 years. And, you know, I look back at the time when Brother Ken was working another job and pastoring this church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, getting calls all through the middle of the night and then having to get up in the morning and go to a job and keep that going down there. And he's had a lot on him. Tremendous responsibility of a pastor. But I appreciate him sticking with the stuff. I appreciate him not compromising. God has used Brother Ken mightily, and he's using him tonight up in North Carolina. I appreciate my pastor. But with responsibility comes accountability. Accountability. God, he's very much interested in the church that he purchased with the blood of his own son. And so you better know that we're going to have to give an account of ourselves before God one day at the bema seat of Christ. But for a pastor, listen what Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says. Obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. You hear that? As they that must give account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It says, obey them that have a rule over you and submit yourselves. That's speaking to us as the church, the body. Now, Brother Ken has a great responsibility. He has an accountability. He'll stand before the Lord one day and give an account of his years as being pastor over Liberty Baptist Church, the decisions that he's made and the messages that he's preached. The prayers that he's prayed. I mean, God keeps a man of God accountable for his ministry. And so that's a tremendous, tremendous responsibility. And, we're all going to stand before the Lord one day. That's a fearful thought. Amen. I don't know about you, but it is to me. To stand before a thrice holy God. And just thankful that he saved me. Just thankful that he saved me. But notice this. He's addressing the pastor, but he's addressing the place, the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus. You know, just as God has given the pastor a great responsibility, he gives us a responsibility. You notice what it says to obey and submit in that Hebrews 13 and 17 verse. When Brother Ken studies and gets a word from God and he preaches it, delivers it to the church, then it falls upon us to be obedient and submissive to God through the Word of God. And how many times have we just, took the Word of God lightly? I mean, God has blessed us to be in this place tonight. God blessed us to be in this place last Sunday morning. And God delivers a message through His man, and it ought to be our ears. He says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Our ears ought to always be open when we come to the house of God, trying to hear what God has to say to you and I. God's got a message for you and me. Hey, and we better have our spiritual ears opened up and cleaned out and try to get something of what God has to say to us. There may be a time when you come to the house of God and God has a specific word, a specific message for you. You And he's trying to ring your number, trying to get your attention, trying to say something to you and I. So listen to me. He's speaking through his man, the pastor, to the place, the church at Ephesus. But notice this in verse 2 and 7, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Churches. That covers the whole realm of Christendom. That covers the seven church ages. And it certainly, it speaks to us today that we are the church of the living God, and God has a word right here in this passage of Scripture. For us, it's relevant for the day that we live in. The place, the pastor. But notice his place. The Bible says right here, he says in verse number 1, he says, "Who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Now, the candlesticks remind you up in verse number 20 of chapter 1. The candlesticks are the seven churches. He said, "I'm walking in the midst. I'm walking in the midst." But I tell you what it says over in the passage about the church of Laodicea. He's on the outside, knocking, wanting in. That's a sad verse. That's a sad place. Sad position for a church to be. I don't want Liberty Baptist Church to have that old spirit of Laodicea upon us. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be in our midst every time we gather. I want Him to move. I want Him to speak. I want to be obedient to what He has to say to me. Amen. He said, "I'm walking in the midst." He's got to be the center. He's got to be the preeminence. He's got to be the one that we're focused upon when we come to the house of God. It's not in me, it's not in the singers, it's not in Brother Ken, but Christ is the preeminent one. He's the one we need to see when we get to the house of God. When we look into the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Him. All about Him. He said, "I'm walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." We ought to always make Him welcome. Amen? We ought to be prayed up. And that we ought to be focused when we come to the house of God. Looking to fellowship with Him. Looking to hear from Him and hear what He has to say to you and I. All right, the pastor, the place, Ephesus, his place in the midst. Now, his perception. Notice this right here. His perception. He says, "I know thy works." Man, that's something for somebody that knows everything about us, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing hidden from God. Nothing hidden from Him. He knows more about me than I do. Amen. He knows more about you than you do. You know, that's a solemn statement to me. I don't know how it affects you. But He said, I know thy works. He repeats that numerous times through these letters to the churches. I know thy works. Do you know what He expects of us? Works. What kind of work are we doing for Him? I wonder if He's satisfied with me. I wonder if He's satisfied for the feeble efforts of the works and the things that I do or I've done through the years. I'd have to, if I judge myself, I come up way short. Way short of His glory. But He knows in 1 Peter 4 and 17, I want to read this verse to you right here. 1 Peter 4 and 17 says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Or what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, whither shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Judgment must first begin at the house of God. In other words, we better be judging ourselves. Amen. Amen. We better judge ourselves. We better judge our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We better judge our works. We better judge everything that this Bible right here has to say to you and me. And see how we line up with it. "I know thy works." His perception. He knows it all. But thirdly, this. Not only who's the author of the message and who's the author addressing, but what are the activities of the church? Now, he lays out some positive things right here about this church. He has some good things to say about them. And as he speaks to this church and lays out the good things, he'll get down to one point that he doesn't, you know, it just doesn't sound too good. The activities, I'm talking about the life we're living, the labors that we do, and the things, the actions right here of the church. Let's look at verse 2 and 3. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which to say they are apostles and are not, hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. He names some great things right here about this church at Ephesus. I mean, they were laboring. They were working. They were devoted to the work. He said, you work. And then he mentions labor right after that. I'm talking about the intensity of their works. They were devoted. I mean, they were dedicated to their church, and they had a great church there at Ephesus, no doubt. And I mean, they might have added on a west wing, and they might have added on a east wing. I mean, they were moving. They were going in the right direction, it would seem like, with the things that what the Lord said about them right here. He says works and labor and patience. Three things right there. They were patient, no doubt. You know, the Bible says that tribulation worketh patience. But it's also a fruit of the Spirit, I believe. That one of the fruits of the Spirit is long suffering. I think that has to do with patience. But evidently they had been long suffering with some evil things and with some false apostles, and the Lord says in verse 2 and in verse 3, he mentions patience. Boy, patience is a good attribute for anybody, isn't it? To be long suffering, to be patient with people. Has God ever been patient with you? I tell you what, if the Lord wasn't patient with me, he'd probably kill me a long time ago. Amen. God's long-suffering. And he's patient with people. And we need to be patient with folks. Amen. You may think you've arrived. You may think you're on a step or ladder above everybody else. You're not. You're not there. We're all level at the foot of the cross. And we just well to be patient with each other. Because you ain't going to like everything about me. You probably don't like what I've said already tonight. But be patient with me. I'm learning. I'm trying. And I'm going to try my best to be patient with you. Amen? Because we're human. We're made up of flesh. So they were devoted to the work. And I believe they had the doctrine in the right word. He says, you've labored for my name's sake. In verse 6, he says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, I've looked up and I've studied all I can about these Nicolaitans, but the best definition I can come up for it is just they were make-believe Christians. They were apostates, but they'd got in the church. And they brought in a bunch of wicked stuff into the church. And you know the devil's like that. He'll do his best to get in a church. And you know, he won't just come rushing in. Just a little bit at a time, he'll creep in. Compromise is what he wants. He wants you to take this old King James Bible and say, well, that thing's old-fashioned. Get you one of them new Bibles. It's a little easier on folks. And that's the way the devil works. And so, this church right here, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. We ought to hate compromise. Amen. We ought to hate the works of the devil. And let me tell you, there's a lot of churches that have compromised. I could tell you some things about churches within 20 miles of here that I can't even say what they've done out of the pulpit. And it's around. But I'm glad that we've stuck with the stuff here at Liberty Baptist Church. They were devoted to the work. Their doctrine was in the right word. They did not endorse evil, but they rather exposed it. So listen, when Brother Ken Bowman gets up here and he preaches on sin, or preaches about sin, and he gets to hammering down on things of this old world that God's not pleased with, then just cheer him on. Amen. Our children need to know truth. And we ought not to accept the evil things of this world. Amen. There's still some things that God says is an abomination that a lot of churches have compromised on and accepted. But listen to me. I hope and pray to God that Liberty Baptist Church, hey, 50 years from now, if we're still here, if the Lord hadn't come, I hope there'd be somebody standing behind this pulpit still preaching out of a King James Bible and still standing on the principles and, hey, the things that God has laid out in this Word. Sin is sin. You can't whitewash it. You can't sweep it under the table. And God says don't compromise with it, but proclaim it to be evil as it is. The devil would have us to compromise. They didn't endorse evil, but they exposed it. He says, thou canst not bear them which are evil, and tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. A lot of folks claim to be a Christian. And, it's all right to take a drink every now and then. You ain't got to be that old holy roller person. You know, the devil's sly. They wouldn't put up with that junk in this church. I mean, they just called it like it is. They didn't endorse evil, they exposed it. But notice this, they were dedicated to their cross. In verse 3 it says, and hast borne. You know, as a child of God, when the Lord saves a person, they have a cross to bear. They have a work to do. And whatever it is, we need to bear. We need to bear it. We need to seek God. We need to ask God. Lord, I remember when I got saved, I was a very shy person. And I remember after, maybe a year, year and a half, 2 years, I'd been a spectator at the house of God. That's all I was, a bench warmer. I tried to be a light out in the world. The guys that I worked with, I tried to witness to them. But I felt like there's something that was missing. Something was missing. And so, you know what it was? I hadn't really totally asked God to use me. I hadn't really totally yielded to Him. I guess I was just afraid of what He might want me to do. But one day in church, I asked God to use me. Lord, use me. And you know what, Brother Jake? I've never prayed in church. But I prayed that prayer within myself. And the preacher called on me to pray, dismiss that day in church. And man, that was something big for me. I mean, it don't seem like much, but it was big to me because I just asked God to use me, and He did. It went but a couple of weeks later, I was sitting in an adult Sunday school class, and the preacher come through the side door, and he said, I was looking at him. I looked around. And I thought, man, whew, all my blood rushed in my head. So I got up and I went back there. He said, there's a Sunday school class back here. Their teacher's resigned. They want you to teach. And, God wants to use people. Man, I needed to be taught. But God, He took me as nothing. I mean, I was nothing. But you know, taking that little job as a Sunday school teacher, it made me study. It made me pray. And I started to grow from that. God wants people like that. That'll yield to Him and want to be used. And, you know, that ought to be our attitude. Thou hast borne. I want to bear my cross as I journey through this life. I want to do what God would have me to do. And just be available. God's not interested in ability. He's interested in availability. And He'll supply your needs. All right, we'll move on to our close here. All right, the author, the address, the activities. But now there's an assessment that's made right here. There's an evaluation. There's an examination right here. In verse number 4, he says this. Nevertheless, hey, all these good things now that I just mentioned about you, he said, nevertheless, I got something I want you to hear. I got something against you right here. Because thou hast left thy first love. I'm glad that the Bible tells me that my Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. Thou hast left thy first love. You remember, can you remember a time, maybe when the Lord saved you? How the burden was lifted off of you and how the world looked totally different and how, you know, what a peace and a calm and a joy that you had when the Lord saved you. And man, you knew that the Lord had touched you and you knew He'd saved you. And boy, your affections was turned toward Him. And hey, there was a bond there, a relationship that only God could give. And you were thankful for what He'd done for you. Hey, a heartbeat out of hell and now you're just a heartbeat out of heaven. Hey, there's no greater peace that can be in a person's heart than to know that you're born again. And blood bought child of God. Hey, and there ought to be a love within us for the Lord Jesus Christ that should be beyond measure in our lives. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hey, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Hey, and we all were headed toward a devil's hell. We were all going to perish and die and go there. If He hadn't reached out in love to you and I and drew us in with cords of love to a place of repentance and salvation. Why shouldn't we love the Lord with all our heart and soul and our minds? We ought to, shouldn't we? But this church right here that the Lord had saved and he brought them through all these things right here, and they were growing and they were working and they were doing things for the Lord, but He says you've left your first love. In other words, you begin to get cold in your relationship. You begin to drift away. And let me tell you, that's easy to do. Hey, let me tell you something. You can come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and be as cold as a tater. Amen. Your love can grow cold for the Lord if you don't take an inventory of your life every day and realize what God has done for you, how that God has saved you and how God is keeping you, how God is blessing you, and be thankful and worshipful to the Lord of heaven. That's where we ought to be in our lives. Our love ought to be burning for the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you more than any person in this old world could ever love you. So much that He's done for us in giving Himself for us. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Hey, when the Lord comes searching for me, when He came with conviction on me, I didn't love Him. He loved me. And with convicting power of the Holy Ghost, He brought me to my knees. He brought me to a place of repentance and salvation, Brother Conrad. I was wicked, wicked. I wasn't looking for Him, but He come a-looking for me. And I ought to love Him. And I want to love Him. And I want Him to know I love Him. And I'm thankful for all He's ever done for me and the mercies that He showed me every day in my life. So there was a problem. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. You've left your first love. Love's a powerful thing. You study You study over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about all the gifts, Brother Tim, that a Christian can have. But he says at the end of that 12th chapter, but I'll show you a more excellent way. That way was love. Love can overcome. Love can conquer. Love can do things that the flesh can't do. Love can forgive. Love can cause you to do, you know, to take the gifts that God's give you and motivate you to go out and love people that's unlovable. And so you remember that. But Jesus had a problem here with this church. They began to drift away. They left their first love. But notice this right here. Now, when we read this right here, we think of the church he's preaching to right here. But notice this. He says, notice how he states this. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thee. Now, that can be singular or it can be plural. It can be real, real personal, though. I can put my name right there. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I wonder, could he put your name there tonight? Could he put my name there tonight? I have somewhat against Mike Rollins. Can you put your name there and say have you left your first love? Have you gone the right direction in your love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I love Him more every day. There's an old song in that Redback, Brother Tim, I want to love Him more. I want to love Him more. We ought to love Him more. As we journey toward home, God's faithful and God's good. The problem, the personal touch of it, but now the prescription of it. The prescription that He gives this church right here, and He gives to you and I. There's something we can do about it, He says right here. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. In other words, the best way for me to realize if I'm getting cold on God, the best thing I can do is to go back to where the Lord saved me. And just, you know, relive that moment in my mind and in my heart, and it lifts my spirit, and it stirs the coals of my heart and my love for the Lord Jesus Christ for what He done for me. And I hope you can do the same thing tonight. He says, remember. Memory is a good thing. Remember where you were headed when you were lost and undone without Christ. And remember how He came into your life and how He stepped into your pathway and interrupted your life, and how He drew you in with cords of love to a place of salvation. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Repent means, hey, in other words, He said, you need to turn around. You need to consider where you've fallen from. You need to consider your relationship with Me. And you need to repent. That's twice in this verse 5 right here. He says repent 2 times. Repentance is a good thing. Amen? Repentance is something we ought to do in our lives every day. You know, at the end of every day, I try to examine myself and I try to, you know, repent of the things that I've thought or the things that I might have done is unpleasing to God. Repent. God honors repentance. Notice this. He says, remember. He says, repent. Now He says, return. He says, and do the first works. Return. Return to that right relationship with God. Return to that right relationship. That love that you once had for the Lord. And He says, or else. Now notice this. I'm talking about this prescription. We ought to remember. We ought to repent. We ought to return to Him. And let me say this right here. There's a great risk right here to the church, to me and to you. A great risk of not being obedient to the Word of God. Notice what he says, the risk right here. He says, or else I will come unto thee quickly. Quickly. And will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, I don't know exactly what that verse means to me or it means to you. But I know that our love can grow so cold on the Lord that he'll turn his back on me, I believe. In other words, if I don't want him, he's wooing me, he's loving me. He said, I'll remove thy candlestick out of his place. But you know, there's one thing about God. If you read the first part of this right here, God always offers mercy before judgment. Always. What a loving Father our Savior is. He always offers mercy. But he warns us right here and this right here twice to repent. Repent. And so, closing right here with this, the assessment of the church, the evaluation, examination of it right here. There was a problem. It was a personal problem. The prescription he gives to remember, repent, to return, or risk judgment. But notice in verse number 7, there's a plea right here. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, plural. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now this plea right here is for us to overcome. Overcome this coldness. Overcome this lack of love for our Lord and Savior. And I challenge you tonight to examine yourselves. Have you left your first love? Have you? You can play church or you can have church. If you love Him, we can have church. Amen. I appreciate